Welcome everyone to 514 Church, everyone here and everybody joining us online. It's the Names of Christmas week two, and it is a season where, thinking about names, one of the things that we did at our house, a lot of people are doing this, right? Like the elf on the shelf, like so we have to name this little freak. Like what do you, ours is Ernie. Not proud of that. Any funny names out there that you like? Want to share? Wilson? Buddy? Come on. Buddy the Elf. Any other ones? What was that? Squidward? Okay. Moving on. What? Other names? Elvis. Huh? Elvis. You did Elvis?
Elvis.
Elvis. Mmm. Elvis the Elf. Oh, have a blue. All right, sorry. Any other ones? I mean, it's just funny, these names. James Bond? Nice. At my house, we have a new name for our five-year-old, Kellen. This is actually just my name. I named him this. We're calling him the Christmas Sissy because the other day we were going to bed, And he wouldn't brush his teeth. Like, he just would not settle down. I'm like, dude, you need to brush your teeth and get in bed. He's just like, he was in this like mood where he just kept going, moving his arm. Like, he just wouldn't stop. It's like, dude, you need to brush your teeth and get in bed. And then we got in bed and he would not settle down. He would not, I'm just like, it was like, if you don't be quiet, you're gonna get in trouble. Like, it's time to settle down and go to bed. Just wild, wild, wild. And so I may have, like, I shouldn't say this. I pinched his butt just a little bit. Like, just like, dude, I'm going to, and he just, like, went from, like, and he just started bawling. And I'm like, dude, what? He's like, you pinched me too hard. And I'm like, really, man? Like, it didn't even break the skin. Like, come on. I'm like, come on. I'm like, really, man? Okay, I'm not saying pinch your kids, all right? I'm not a crook. I don't know. I'm like, buddy, I'm sorry. And I really didn't pinch him that hard, but he was tired and emotional and just all over the board. And he just wouldn't, and then he just was crying. And I am telling you, for 4-5 minutes straight, just, I'm like, dude, settle down. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And then, like, after 5 minutes, he was still, like sobbing. Like, he was still, and his head is, like, down. And then I think he's done crying, and he looks up at me, and he's, and it's, like, 10 minutes later, and I'm like, Kellen, buddy, like, I'm starting to feel bad, right? Like, why are you crying so hard? And he looks up at me, and he goes, I don't know. And I'm like, buddy, and it's like crazy. He's like, puts his head down again. And I'm like, Kellen, what? Dude, you're really crying. Why are you crying so hard? And he looks up at me and he goes, I just really want a dog for Christmas. And I was just like, oh, no, 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 no. This is not going to happen, you Christmas sissy. It's like, we're like, no, no, no. Like, he's working it, man. Like, he is like, Hollywood tears were flowing. And I was like, not having it. But the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. When I was younger, and my parents got divorced, and then my dad got remarried. We had a blended family. And our first Christmas together as a blended family, I came home from school, it was a couple weeks before Christmas, and there were Christmas presents under the tree already. Now, this is like this is wrong. You do not put Christmas presents under the tree until Christmas Eve when everyone's asleep. That's how I had always done it. So my stepmom, there's 9 kids, and she has these presents, and she's trying to put some of these presents under the tree, like to get them out of the closet or whatever they were. You didn't have room. So I come home, and I'm like, what's this? Christmas isn't for, like, weeks. Like, what's wrong? And she kind of walks through, and she's like, I just don't have any room for them. I'm like, yeah, but, like, that is And I started crying. Like, she reminded me of this story a couple weeks ago. She's like, you started, like, bawling. And she was like, it's fine, Joel. It's fine. And I'm just like, it's just not the way Christmas is supposed to be. Like, it's just not right. Like, it's supposed to be all, And I cried. And she's like, fine. She, like, got mad. And she took all the presents and put them upstairs. I was like, yeah, that's right. Like, she took them all upstairs. And it's like, so I apparently, like, the whole Christmas sissy thing, that's me. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I mean, it's perfectly normal behavior for, like, a 16-year-old. I am not kidding. I was definitely a teenager when that happened. Christmas sissy. We're talking about the names of Christmas, and like all of us take on different personas, and we have different things that we do at different times, and you might get called something or kind of, you know, put in a corner like that's you're like this or you're like this. And during the time of the prophecy of Jesus's birth, Isaiah went to the king of Judah and told him that God had a plan for really all of humanity and specifically for the people of Judah and their troubles. And in so many words, it's so cool, Isaiah told the king of Judah that God had a plan that would ultimately solve all of our problems. All of our problems. He didn't say that it would happen right away. But ultimately, Isaiah says, God has a plan that's going to take care of everything, which is absolutely unbelievable. Kind of looking for a military plan against some of the invasions that were going to happen around Judah and looking for something practical, Isaiah says, God has told me that there's a plan that God has to solve all of our problems. And not just the problems that we have politically, but the problems that we have spiritually. The problem that we have as we've turned our backs to God. The problem that we have in the severed relationship between God and man. And God is going to solve that. And what he does is he says that God is going to come as a baby, come to earth as a child. In a chapter or two before this, Isaiah tells the king that the baby's name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Which is just mind-blowing altogether, to have God around, to have him on earth. And then that baby would be born of a virgin, and that would be one of the signs. And then once that baby was going to be born, that he would kind of embody all different types of characteristics and play all different types of roles that ultimately solve all of our problems at some point. And that's the story of Christmas. You see, the story of Christmas is not about Jesus, like, you know, coming in and making Christmas a happy time for you and for me today or this week or next week. He's coming in to make all the problems go away. Eventually, every problem will be solved. Eventually, all the tensions will go away. Eventually, we'll be with him forever. Eventually, Jesus and the gift of Jesus brings everything to a conclusion that is broken and builds everything that is beautiful. You see, Jesus Christ starts out in a manger. And you see the manger made out of wood. And then the wood turns into a cross, and the cross represents him dying for our sins, shedding his blood, and wiping them away. And then the cross turns into a door, and Jesus is called the door. And so from the manger to the cross to the door, Jesus called himself the door. He called himself the way. He called himself the path. And that path is one of those names that he has that represents you and me and our opportunity to have eternal life, and to experience the solution that God has provided for every single one of us because of Christ. But as you look at this, as Isaiah is talking to this king, I talked a little bit about this last week, you might read this all together and go, this is somewhat confusing, this doesn't quite make sense. If you were just looking at it carte blanche, kind of in a vacuum, it might not all make sense. I mean, let's read it through together. He says, the solution to all of our problems, here, now, and spiritually. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. All the world's problems, all our spiritual problems. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. This is what he's going to do, and I talked about that last week. and he will be called Mighty God. And this son, this child, will be the everlasting Father. He will be the Prince of Peace. And as you start to look at that, you go, a child is born, a son is given. Father, how can a child be a father? How can a son be a prince? What's going on here? And one of the things you have to understand about the scriptures is that God graced us with the gift of Jesus Christ, but he also graced us with the word of God, with the scriptures that we have that we call the Bible. And if you can understand for a second, what you have is the God of the universe, all-powerful, the source of knowledge, the source of life itself, trying to take the concept of how wonderful his son is, which is bigger and more wonderful than our comprehension. And he's trying to break it down throughout 66 books that we call the scriptures, that we call the Bible. He's trying to break down how wonderful he is and how wonderful his son is into very simple terms. So if you look at the explanation, it's like a dad trying to explain to their kid how Yoda can't fight Kylo Ren. It kind of makes sense. It's very childlike. I had this conversation after Star Wars with my kids. I mean, I'm a Star Wars nut. I've seen it twice. I'm not ashamed. I could see it 10 more times. I might just go see it 10 more times. I don't even care. I'm not afraid. The Force is with me, apparently. But like, I love it. But like, my son saw it, and he's like, Dad, you can be Yoda, and I'll be Kylo Ren. How come they didn't fight in the movie? And I'm like, well, he's like, because he was in the other movie. And you know, the way these movies came out, I mean, if it doesn't confuse you, if you just jump into it, the middle three, then the first three, now the beginning of the last three, this is confusing. Who's going to break this down for us and help us understand it? Dad. Dad's going to help us. Break it down for a little kid so he can understand. That's what the scriptures are like, breaking it down. Okay, so Yoda, he was Luke Skywalker's weird uncle. Okay, all right, I get it now. And he died before Kylo Ren was around. Oh, so they can't fight. Yeah, I was like, yeah, they're not contemporaries. And then I said contemporary, and I was like, that was a dumb word to use for a five-year-old. But they weren't alive at the same time, right? I mean, you know, it's like with kids, when you're trying to explain big concepts in a simple fashion. The other day, we had to take a toy back because we had two toys that were an awesome gift, but they were both on the same frequency, and so they couldn't race because one control controlled both the toys. So we had to go get the other frequency in the same one. So I take it back and we go in and Kellen's like, well, why don't we just go back and get it? I'm like, well, we have to exchange it. He's like, well, what is that supposed to mean? I'm like, well, we have to give it to them and then they'll give us the new one. He's like, oh, okay. You see, we go through this process all the time of trying to take these concepts for our kids and make it simple. That's what the entire scripture is. The entire scripture is God going, oh, how can I make this simple? And you know how he made it the most simple? He sent his son to be born in a manger. God, how much do you love us? Oh, man, I can't begin. I'm going to send my son to you. That's how much I love you. He's not just going to come and be born in a manger. He's going to grow up. He's going to be me in the flesh. He's going to die for you. Does it get more simple than that? That's God saying how much he loves us in the most simple fashion so we can all understand it. As we're trying to understand God and we're trying to pursue a relationship with God, what he's done is he's used these people throughout the years to try to take this amazing person that I have a personal relationship, that some of you have a personal relationship, and said, here's who he is to you. Here's who he is. This is the role he played. We looked at Wonderful Counselor. We're going to jump over Mighty God, and we're going to look at Everlasting Father today. And just look at the names of Jesus. Just look at his names. When we look at Everlasting, the most important piece of this is to understand that Jesus Christ is timeless. Come on, what I mean is that the scriptures teach us that Jesus, that God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you ever met anyone who is exactly the same in a 7-day period? No. I mean, come on, you work with somebody, you're in a relationship with somebody, it's like, ooh, you're kind of snippety today. You're different. You've changed. You meet people over the course of their life, right? You see people at Christmas time and you haven't seen that niece or that nephew for a couple years, and they come in, they're grown up. They've changed. They're different. Not Jesus. Jesus is exactly the same that he's always been. He is absolutely Jesus all the time, and it's never gone away. Every moment, Jesus is Jesus. He's absolutely perfect. Everlasting is the idea that he did not live in time. He lives outside of time and just exists. Jesus has no beginning. Jesus has no end. Jesus is always the same. No matter what, Jesus Christ, when he emptied himself, when God emptied himself to become a man, he put off his divine attributes, his abilities, his superpowers for a little bit to become a man and debased himself in humility to try to tell us how much he loves us. But Jesus Christ, the scriptures teach in the New Testament, that Jesus Christ spoke the world into existence. That he created us and that he is always the same. Now, when you start to break down the fact that Jesus is timeless, that he is the same all the time, this may not matter to you. And I'm just going to get a little preachy. And I don't even care, because when I start to think about who Jesus is, if it doesn't get you a little bit excited, man, like, oh, I'm jacked up about this. There's some things about Jesus that never change, that you can count on, that are timeless. The first one is Jesus' voice. Jesus Christ has the voice of God, and he speaks. He spoke the world into existence. He speaks to you in your heart. If you don't know him, he's pursuing you. His voice is just as strong, it's just as compassionate, it's just as powerful as it's ever been. The same Jesus who created the world is the same Jesus who one day was walking through a crowd, and a woman who was ill for years tried to find him, grabbed his garment, and he said, "Who has touched me? The power just went out from me. Someone took some power." That Jesus, that same voice, is the same as it was then, as it is today, as it will ever be. Jesus' voice. Do you know that voice? He's the same. He is everlasting. He is outside of time. He is incredible. The voice of Jesus. Everybody say the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus. You know another thing that never changes? His strength. Jesus is strong enough to change everything. He's strong enough to change your heart. The Bible says that a lot of us are born with a heart of stone, and he has the ability to take the heart of stone and make it into a heart of flesh because he's strong enough. The Bible says that Jesus Christ took, you got to get this, the sin of the world and carried it like strong, man. Jesus is strong. He can change the person next to you. He can change you. He can change tomorrow. He can change your circumstances. He's so strong. He has so much ability, and he's the same all the time. For all of our experience as created beings, Jesus Christ will be strong. Strong enough to have it all, to have everything, and to empty it and come down and take on the form of humility and be the Savior that we all need. Everlasting, always strong, same voice, same strength. And this is another one I just want you to just camp in, just live in for a moment. Another thing is that his blood, and I know that that might sound weird, but the thing about Jesus' blood is that Jesus, when he came at Christmas time, he was at the very beginning of a mission of forgiveness. Do you know that Jesus Christ came to forgive you? He came to wipe away your sins. My sins, our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ is a picture of forgiveness. You see, for thousands of years before the time of Jesus Christ, God had laid out a plan of forgiveness that included sacrificing animals. So when there was sin, the blood had to be shed to take away the sin. And ultimately, that led to forgiveness. To taking whatever debt, whatever sin, whatever thing you've done wrong, and the blood of the sacrifice would wipe away that sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, which was poured out 2,000 years ago, is just as strong today as it was then. It means that Jesus, being the everlasting Father, in all of his characteristics, one of his primary purposes is to forgive us of our sin. How many of us have felt like God came to tell us about our sin, to ridicule us for our sin? The blood of Jesus Christ is the same as it was then as it is today. And it says to you and to me, you're forgiven if you want to be. I came, I spilt my blood for you so you could be forgiven, so it could be wiped away. That's incredible. That's incredible. From a manger to a cross to a door to eternity. The everlasting one who never wanes. His voice, his strength, his blood, the nature of God. The everlasting Father. Now, when you look at Father, you might be thinking, wait a minute, I thought that Jesus was the Son. If you know anything about the way the scriptures teach us about God, it teaches us that God is three distinct different persons into one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus, the child, the one born of a virgin, is called the everlasting Father, Isaiah is not saying that he is the same as the Father because they have different roles. What he's saying is that the everlasting peace, the eternal peace that we all get to experience, the source of eternity, the source of time, is the Father. Jesus is the Father of the everlasting. Jesus is the Father of eternity. Jesus is Father time. In the Arab world still today, if someone that is your grandpa or lived down the street was full of wisdom, they call him the Father of wisdom, the source of wisdom. Or if they're the guy on the street that nobody trusts and they feel like constantly makes bad decisions, then they're the father of folly, the source of foolishness. Jesus Christ is called the Father of eternity. What that means is that Jesus Christ has time. Now, you got to take a minute and just have a little bit of some esoteric like thoughts if you're going to really dig into the person of Jesus Christ. Because time is how we live. Time is where we are. But God, he graced us with time. Do you understand? Without time, we don't exist. You see, Jesus spoke the world into existence and he said, okay, here is some time. Here's some time. Here's a place. Here's the sun. Here's the moon. Here's a day. Here's a week. Here's a month. Here's a life. Here's a heart. Here's a brain. Here's a family. All of that is nothing without time. Time is one of Jesus' biggest gifts to us. It's life. He, from on high, outside of time, said, I'm going to give them time. I'm going to hand it to them. I'm going to create a space, create a world that they can live in. And I'm going to let them figure it out. And I'm going to help them learn to follow me. And what I want to just challenge you with as we're looking at Jesus as the everlasting Father is to take the time that Jesus gives you. He is handing us time. He says, here it is. Now, the first piece that Jesus does when he has time, he kind of has like this special present, right? He has this like trump card in his back pocket that's like the one thing that's completely incredible, and he has it to offer to every single one of us, and it really is the gift of time. In so many words, eternity is for all of us. We're all going to live for eternity. You're an eternal being, the Bible teaches. You have eternity written on your heart. You are going to live forever. You're just not necessarily going to live forever with God. And maybe you've heard this story. You got to accept Jesus to live with Jesus forever. But what Jesus does is he says, you live forever. But here is the gift of eternal life. Just think about that. He has a present. And he says, oh man, I want to give you something. Eternal life. You see, I made time. And here's this special piece of time. It's time with me. It's time for all of eternity with me. You can have it if you want it. Jesus gives the gift of eternal life. He's like, here you go. I came down to offer you this. You're going to live forever, but you might not live forever with me unless you take this gift. You see, I'm the everlasting Father. I have all the time. So here you go. So you have to take the time. So some of you today are going, have I accepted Christ? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you pursue him all the time? Do you feel like you know that if this is such a question, that you grew up in a church, do you feel like you know that if life as you know it ended, that you would be with God forever? You see, that's the thing that Christmas is about. Here's a gift of eternal life. If you want to open it, you can have it. It's for you. This is why I did this. I'm the everlasting Father. I'm the only one that can hand you time. I'm the only one that has this to give. You have to take the time that Jesus gives you. The other thing that Jesus does is he says, here's this door to eternal life. But also, I've given you earthly life. And in that life, I'm giving you some time to change. You see, the scriptures teach that God made us in his image and that we were all a reflection of him inside and outside. Then we rejected his plan and we were separated from him. And from that moment on, all of us are on this journey kind of back to God to become more like God, to have our sins wiped away and to have a relationship restored with God. And he says, here's some time. Here's some time to choose to follow me. Come on, you know what this is. Like, if you're a follower, you know, like, are you following Christ right now? Not do you believe in him. Are you following him? Do the steps you take every single day reflect your belief that Jesus is God? That's the gift that Jesus has given. He's going, come on, here's some time. Get it right. I'll wait for you. I'll be patient for you. But here's some time. You have this life. You have a heartbeat. You get to pick to follow after me. I'm the Father of eternity. And here is this chunk that I put in front of you. It's a time. It's your life. And you get to decide to follow me. You see, in the scriptures, when Jesus shows up on the scene, this is so cool, it's kind of the beginning of this type of time that we all have, especially for all of us sitting in the room. When Jesus enters into the scene, it said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand when people see Jesus. And Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, now is the time for you to start to turn back to God. The word repent means to turn and go the other direction. So the gift of Jesus Christ is the gift of time. It's here. I can give you eternity if you want it. The other thing is, here's your life. Are you going to use it to follow me? You guys, like, what is it right now for you? Where you're just like, oh man, he's given me this time and I am not taking the time. The scriptures talk about salvation, that today is the day of salvation. The principle around that is that today is the day to turn back to God. Today is the day to say, I'm not going to do that thing anymore, and I'm going to go after what God has for me. Today is the day to identify what's leading you in the wrong direction and to say, I'm going to head in a new direction. And you have the time. The thing about the time, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is hand, the time to turn around, is that you don't have all that time. You don't know how much you have. You might only have a week. You might only have a month. You might have 35 more years. But right now, you have that time. It's in front of you. The scriptures teach that when we, this is cool, that when we make the decision in the time that he gives us for our lives to turn around and follow him, that it actually changes the eternal gift that he gives us. You see, he says, here's the door, and you get it, and I'll get you through there because I got you through there. I'm the gift. I'm the door. I die for your sins. Now, here's the gift of time. And what you do with this gift of time right here will determine how great eternity is. The scriptures actually teach that when we live our lives as if to follow God the way he is, that there are treasures in heaven, that there's a different experience for those that commit to what the Bible calls a life of holiness and pursuing God. That when you get there, that you're gonna, there's going to be somehow some different levels of experiences. And it doesn't mean that if you get there and you didn't do everything perfect that you're not going to be glad, but I do think that you might sit there and you might go, man, I didn't do the best with my time. I'm going to do the best now. I'm here. I'm with them. But I think you're going to know that you didn't do the best now. I've heard eternity talked about and what this season is, how amazing it is as a gift from the everlasting Father, and how precious it is as a gift and how short it is. If this piece of time that we all have to live our lives in the grand scheme of eternity is somehow explained, one way I've heard it explained is that it's like the dress rehearsal to an entire show. That if eternity is a bunch of pieces of sand individually connected from here to the moon, that life on earth is just the first piece of sand. Kind of to show you, like, okay, you have this. You got to make the most of this, and then you get to jump into that. What do you have to turn around? What do you have to repent? What's God leading you to right now? That's what Christmas is about, the everlasting Father. And then I just want to give you something that we can do kind of to take this and make it part of your experience. Okay, we need to re-gift time for people. We need to become God to people. It's true, actually. We need to become a gift to people. And one of the things in relationships is that you may have somebody in your life, maybe this is a mom or a dad or a brother or sister or a boss or something, but you have this person that you have just been like wanting to see them change. You've been wanting to see them turn around. You've been wanting to see them repent. You've been wanting to see them get their lives together. And what I want to offer you is two different parts of how to deal with this. And the first one, just depending on where you are in this whole relationship with this person, is give them the time to turn around. I'm not saying that you don't care about them, right? And that you back off. You pray for them, but dads, moms, like, you know, when you have the kid, right, and they're wayward, they're prodigal, whatever that is, that you just want to fix it, and you just want to solve it, and you just want to, like, go in and tell them what to do and straighten them up and make them repent. Like, you want to turn their shoulders around and go, now go this way. And maybe you've tried that, but it doesn't work. One of the things that God did for us is he said, here's some time. I'm going to let you figure this out. And so some of us today need to hear, like, give that person some time. Like, maybe it's time to, like, back down the thrusters a little bit and trust that God is doing something with that time that's better than what maybe you could do with that time. Just an analogy of time. Chinese bamboo, when it gets planted at first, it's so brittle and so vulnerable that if you walk by it, it just falls over. It's so soft to the touch. And for 4 years, if you're not careful with it, you can destroy it almost to the touch. And people that know it's Chinese bamboo, which is one of the hardest wood, the hardest plants, like you know that it's like, what's going on? And a lot of people for a long time didn't understand how long it takes for that thing to fully mature. And so some of us need to just step back and let the process happen and watch that person mature. But then the other part of it is some of us need to take the time to turn back to them. Some of us today, we've backed off a lot from people. And we haven't been the gift that we're supposed to be. We haven't humbled ourselves the way Christ humbled himself at Christmas time, became a baby, and gone to people and said, I'm here for you. I want to help you. I want to be a part of your solution. And like maybe there's a friend, maybe there's a family member that you don't see. Maybe it's a phone call away. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's an old buddy that you just haven't talked to. Maybe you just need to pick up the phone. Maybe you just need to call them. Maybe you just need to send a text. Maybe you need to send a card. Maybe over Christmas time, you need to get together with this person. Take the time. Humble yourself. Go to this person and take the time the way that Christ took the time for us. One of my favorite movies is Home Alone. And it's just one of the best Christmas movies of all time. I got to tell you, it's timeless. I love it. And actually, I started playing it. And at the house, and the kids love it. They just like, Dad, turn on the traps part. And Jet goes, I like it when he takes the shovel and smacks the crooks in the back of the head. And he calls them the crooks, and we just think it's really cute. But we love the movie Home Alone. And when I was growing up, I loved the part, right, where the traps are set, right? Where, like, leave it on the doorstep, and you know what I mean? Like, that part when he scares everyone, and then the guys come there. You love that part. I wanted to see it, too. My kids do, too. But after watching it now, there's a part in the movie that when I was a kid, I just would like want to speed through or like get up and go to the bathroom or get something else to eat or whatever during this part. But as I watched this part, I realized this is the best part of the movie. This is what this movie's really all about. You know, the kid's like alone. The parents are there. She's making an effort to come back to him. He doesn't love his family, he thinks, but he really does. Kind of shows you how important all the people that you get annoyed with really are. Look what you did, you little jerk. Like, right? Like that guy, he's still your uncle. Like he's all right. You know, like that's the point of the movie. And in this scene that I want to show you real quick, and then we'll be done, is the scene where Kevin goes to church before the crooks are coming over. And the man that salts the sidewalks, who he's afraid of, is in that church. And at first he's afraid to talk to him, but the man says he doesn't need to be afraid. And he sits down and there's a choir rehearsal going on, and they have a conversation that I think is worth watching.
You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
I came to hear my granddaughter sing, and I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
Well, he's grown up. We lost our tempers. And I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. We haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
Yeah, basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
My point is maybe you should call them. Jesus is the Father of eternity. He gives us this pass to eternal life if we want it. And then he says, here's some time to get some things right, to build some relationships, to turn back to God. And that's what this time is all about. He didn't just come for eternity. He came to give us eternity, but he also came to give us this healing power that we can have. And it's really humility. It's really the gift of time. It's really the gift of putting aside your interests and saying, I'm going to take time to go and talk to this person. And that's the story from the manger to the cross to the door. And maybe there's a door that you need to walk through this week in a relationship with somebody. I think that if I'm honest, I get afraid sometimes to try to mend, to try to face conflict with family or with friends. But could it be that, like, this whole process here is supposed to just remind us of the things that we write off really simply? Just forget about it. I don't need to deal with it, and actually focus on what matters most. I love the scene at the end of the movie where Kevin goes over to the window after the parents come home, and this man and his son have this embrace, and he's crying, and his granddaughter's there. And it does. I'm sorry, Christmas sissy. I cry. I'm sitting there like, man, look at that. That's the way it should be. And it is the way it should be. It's that simple. It's the way it should be. The everlasting Father, take the time that Jesus gives you. Let's pray. God, I pray for everybody in here. I pray that they would take the time. I pray that Christmas would not just be something that we receive, but something that we give. We give someone the gift of time. Let us re-gift what you gave to us. We love you so much. Thank you for this season. Thank you for the reminder. In Jesus' name, amen.